quick as I would a pauper
if he don't get out of the business of God.
I've already done it. He that has respect to persons commits sin and is convinced of the law as a transgressor.
When you have respect to persons.
Amen. Foot on the money. I've lived without money about all my life. I still work for a living. I could still live without money. I'm still like old Caleb. I'm able to go out and, what I was raised to do, fish, commercial fishermen, as 40 years ago. So is my strength now to go out and catch fish. I do it. If I had to do it teetotally for a living, I could do it. I wouldn't chafe under it either. Paul said, we labor of our own hands. He was a laboring man. He said, I'm your example. Follow me as I follow Christ. Old lazy bone preachers, they're not worth the powder lead it take to shoot them. Oh, Lord, pastor these old dead churches. He got to have him a choir leader. He pays him. Got to have a Sunday school educational leader. Got to pay him. Got to have a youth leader. You got to pay him. Got to have a man go out and mow the yard. They ought to get them sorry associates out of mowing the grass. Amen. Oh, you didn't hire me to mow the grass, pastor. I ain't mowing no grass. Have mercy sakes. I've thought most of my life that I was called to be a janitor and I preached on the side. Had to mow yards and clean churches and build churches and work in anything I could find. Fishing, commercial fishing, picking cotton, whatever came to hand. Working on a crew, construction crew. Preaching, pastoring a church, but yet working with my hands, laboring. My back hurting, just like everybody else's. Still, I had to preach and fast and do all visit and go pray for the sick, visit hospitals. What was I doing? Do I have to do it? Paul said, no, I've made myself a servant unto all men that I may win the more. He said, I'm your example. God called preachers to be examples, not just a stinking big old mouth. You might like them. I don't. You can have him, like that old song he sang back during World War II. You can have him. I don't want him. He's too fat for me. You can have these fat souls preaching for the money and not for the soul. They look like they're trying to eat their way through. Yeah. One of the other days, about that big around, I asked a fellow, I said, how do you get that big? And his buddy says, anybody invites him out to a buffet to eat, he don't turn nobody down. Big old preacher, 400 pounds. You ought to be like this man. Had to go down and face them demons down there in Suriname, witchcraft practitioners, casting devils out of people, and here comes a long snake out of them. Or here comes a bunch of lizards and crickets and all kind of things out of the pit of their stomach. That's the work of a devil. Yeah. You ain't going to get that out by being no 400 pounder. Jesus said them kind don't come out except by fasting and prayer. And I'm going to tell you something. You ain't going to heal these generation gaps and credibility gaps and gender gaps and communication gaps except by fasting and prayer. It won't work. And the preacher's not going to be no preacher with the spirit of Elijah on him unless he's a fasting man. He won't have it. Now let's look at these two end time prophets of restoration that Jesus said are the only ones that can turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the children back to their parents and heal these gaps, these breaches that have opened up because of wimpish preachers, because of panty-waist church members that let their wives rule over them. That's the cause of it. Parents that don't believe what the Bible said, spare the rod and spoil the child. Ruin them before they ever reach the age of accountability, just about. All right, these two prophets, Revelation 11 and 3. God said, I'm going to give them power to prophesy 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. That's half of that tribulation period or the day of the Lord. Half of that time. The first half. That's when the church is going to be prepared by the spirit of Elijah to make ready a people prepared for the coming of the Lord. Is the first 3.5 years of tribulation, or there won't be no rapture. There ain't going to be no rapture this year. There won't be no rapture next year. There won't be no rapture 1991. There's got to be 3.5 years after Israel is invaded. That's the next thing you listen for, ladies and gentlemen. Get up one morning, newspaper said, Russia invades Israel! You know, it's a countdown then, 3.5 years or so, and Jesus will come. But you're going through fire and through water, persecution, and these four sword judgments we're going through. God's going to get the spots and wrinkles out of us. That old cold iron these preachers use ain't going to get no wrinkles out of you. It's a hot iron! You wives know better than getting an old cold iron try to get wrinkles out of your husband's breeches or shirt. Be just as rough, dried as it ever was. But you get that old iron hot, get the steam of flying and put it down there. Man, you hand it to him and breeches almost stand up. They're so wonderful. That's what God's going to have, some people that can stand up with no spots, no wrinkles, no blemishes, nor any such thing, but it'll be holy in every detail. From the hair to the soles of your feet. It's going to be holy. All right? These two ministers of restoration are prophets. Now, people read this and don't even call them prophets. Verse 10 says, they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. That's when they get killed. And make merry and send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. Prophets torment Christians. I'm a torment to the average Christian. They don't want to be around me. Anybody that's got sin in their life don't want to be mucking around me. They don't feel comfortable around me. God don't want you to feel comfortable around me. You got old sin, ungodly mess in your life. I don't want to be around you either, not very long, unless I can help you. So we're just equal. Somebody thinks they're rubbing it in on me. Foot, I can rub it right back. I got a face like a flint stone. Homosexuals come out here yesterday. My son here, Ray Jr., had to drag me back. Boy, I wanted to get on their case. I got a pugilistic spirit with a devil. If God got all the queers one time gathered up in Sodom and Gomorrah and blowed the whole town up with them in it, he must really love them, don't he? And these old sorry preachers said, oh, God bless them. What do you blow them up for? There's a big hole in the ground to work all the Dead Sea, and there's hundreds of thousands of sorry things laying under it there, the bones or whatever was left. Amen. Boy, he really loves them, didn't he? Don't you like that kind of love where God gets you a bunch of perverts together and blows the mess up and turns you upside down, dumps you in hell, and that's the end of you. Then puts a marker on it. A sea that's dead, nothing but salt and death. Yeah. He really loves them homosexuals, don't he? Yeah. I hate somebody look at me telling me he loves a homosexual. Yeah. You don't know what he's talking about. Read Romans 1:24. God said he gave them up to vile affections. Verse 26 said he gave them up to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Man living with man. Burning in lust, one toward another. Women living with women. And then verse 28, he said he gave them over to a reprobate mind. God, three times in Romans 1, I gave them up. Amen. I don't fool with them, and anybody that takes up for them is worthy of death just like they are.
Amen. That's right. That's right.